This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
KILT, KILT FM HD2 Houston, insider access, exclusive content, Sports Radio 610, the Texans play here, an Odyssey sports station.
Twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight. Oh, the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming.
Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, 6:02 here in the Bayou City. Third hour already. Man, time's flying by this morning. I was looking at O-Search and that big white shark that was caught off at North Carolina coast. There's several of them over there pinging. You've got one that's called Hurtle, H with an I, H-I-R-T-L-E. That's a male white shark. It's almost 11 feet, just under 1,000 pounds. Then you've got Nova. It's another big male, 11.2. It's over 1,000 pounds. Then you've got one that's real close to the shore there, Danny. That's a 9.5-footer. And then you have ACK, 12-foot female. And then another one, Mahone. Big white shark. That's the biggest one, 13.7. So, goodness. Then farther offshore, you've got Olympia, another white shark, and another one, Montauk, offshore. So, man, there's white sharks kind of in that area pretty good right now. So, that's interesting. I like tracking that stuff. Wish we could do trout like that, have our own trout site. All right. Cliff Webb, good morning.
What's up? Hey, Mickey, what's up, buddy?
Hey, man.
Oh, man, listen to your shark stories. I need to get a couple of those in Galveston and eat all them Bull Reds.
I'd have to quit wading though.
No, I don't think you. I don't think you'd be doing any kayaking either. You know, all good, not Mickey. Really. Man, we're all good, buddy. I finally got back floating again. I've been down in the back, and I finally got out.
Oh, how's that going for you, man?
It's going slow. Yes, it's going slow. Seen the doctor. Got another doctor's appointment on Wednesday, but at least I'm floating around now instead of sitting on the couch.
It's hell to get old, ain't it?
Oh, well, better than the alternative. You know, a lot of people don't have the privilege to get old, so it's all good.
That's true. It's just, you just can't do the things you used to do, you know, tugging on stuff.
Yeah, just got to slow it on down, yeah.
Reaching over
the thing is, you know, I don't...
It's heavy. Batteries even bother me now. I'm used to. I carry a battery like it wasn't nothing, two of them. Now I've got to switch hands a little bit and make sure I don't get all out of line.
I guess the biggest thing for me is, you know, that... both my shoulders bad, so I can't fill up the corn feeders anymore. Like 50-pound sack of corn over your head doesn't work anymore for me. So
my shoulders
in a bucket,
are still good, and I try not to do that.
I'm just kind of pouring half in a bucket and putting it in there. But it's all good. Hey, it could be a lot worse, man. But
I don't want to hurt you, you know. I remember my dad, he made it all his life, and he was like 75, and he was he had to move my stepmom's piano. I said, why didn't you hire somebody to do that? Him and some other old codger did it, and he ended up getting a hernia and ended up having to go get it fixed. I said, see there?
Hard-headed. Well, it's kind of like the back thing. You know, I pushed on a butt. I know better than that. You know, God, just popped that back. But that's the first back problem I've had in the middle. You know, just the lower back before, but never the middle. But anyway, it's all good. Going to get over it and keep on fishing, man. But, man, I had a cool thing happen. I guess earlier in the week, it was Monday. I got a new bait called a big soft. It's a like a fat boy, you know. It's made there in Rockport, and so this guy Paul Jamala, he goes to Jimmy Burns there at the Waterloo place, and he gets me a handful. He says, "Hey man, you got to try these. I'm killing a big trout on them." So he gives me a handful.
What is it called?
Big soft. Yeah, it looks like kind of like a fat boy, a little shorter, sinks a little short. It's made by PAV Lures. It's made by, and it's called Big Soft.
I think I've seen them around. People talking about them. Yeah, I know where you're kind of a shad based body, like a fat boy.
So I picked the prettiest one out, the best one on the console. And I tied on, you know, and our tide, Mickey, is unbelievable low. I mean,
I bet y'all are out of water, man.
So I'm fishing rocks next to the intercoastal that I've never seen before. I've seen them on the GPS, but they're sticking out of the water, dude. They're sticking out of the water. And there's a big circle of them, you know, maybe 20-yard circle, and there's a bunch of rocks in the middle, and right in the middle, this big old sand pocket. And so my guy in the boat, he's hooked up with a big red, and he's going around the boat. I got one guy who's going around the boat. I got plenty of time. The stripping line is going, you know, and I got plenty of time. So I see that pothole in there, and I go, man, if I throw in there, I'm probably not going to get it back. I threw it in there. I bumped it once, and it just smoked it, man. It's boom, you know, smoking. And it's just peel and drag, and I think, God, I hope it's a big trout. And all of a sudden, I see this big old orange ball. I go, I know what that is. You know, it was a big old nasty bottom feeder, man. And he just took me over there. I'm trying to get him around the rocks. And there's one little gap in the rocks. I'm going to try to work him through it, you know.
Right.
And right when I get to it, he just makes a big U around that rock and pops me off. You know,
there you go.
You know, you're stupid when you know it's going to happen, but you got to do it anyway. You know, that was kind of how it was, man. But anyway, it was all good.
I love it when you get in those situations. You know better to throw in there, but you can't help it. Yeah. At least I can set the hook on one.
It's funny, man. And this is another thing you'll do down here. So I love sight casting big trout, so I'll be up in the sand. I ain't seen nothing in 30 minutes. Nothing's going on. I'm walking. There's a little redfish there, you know, like 25. I just throw at him. As soon as you hook that red, you look over, there's five big trout swimming by. It's like, why did I do this, you know, because he's running through the flash. You're seeing these Vs, and all of a sudden the big trout come right by you. If you wouldn't have thrown at the bottom feeder, you'd have got into the trout, but it's all right. It's all right.
See, as many fish as we've caught, you can't help yourself. You can't control it.
I know.
I mean, you see a fish,
automatic
throw
action. Yeah, I got to stop. I have to take my left arm and hold my right arm down. Don't throw. You know, I'm gonna have to. That's all good, man. But it's crazy how low our tide went, Mickey. It's it's hard to get your boat off the trailer at 37. You're kicking up mud, you know, getting off the trailer, and getting out of the dock. You got to be a mountain climber to get up on the dock right now. And the worst thing is, so when they open up Packer, the salinity level is a lot lower around the marina. And we have a ton of oysters right now growing around, all around the marina. And those boards on the bottom rails of the marina are all full of oysters.
Right.
And so now when you pull up there, it just scratches the boat to heck. Everybody's boat's getting all scratched up, you know. So you really got to pay attention. You might want to take you one of them little white rubber bumper things with you,
yeah,
or a life jacket when you launch to stick it, because you're going to scratch your new boat up. Boat buoys, because it's just that way, you know. It's hope it'll come back in, you know. But it did help if we had some water back, Mickey, we'd have some great shoreline fishing, but these fish want to be up on the beach, and they're having a hard time with the super low water.
They're not getting
where they want to be.
James was just talking about that a while ago.
Yeah.
Same thing.
They're not getting where they want to be. You know?
They're wanting to be shallow, and the shallow water is dry right now.
It is, man. They got to have legs to get up there.
That's it.
But, the fish we're catching are fat as pigs. God, they're just beautiful, healthy fish, man.
I caught one the other day with a lot of pigs. Now, here's what's weird. Yeah. Joey Farrer, you know, he posts pictures every day, and he catches them bigger. He's having a heck of a year, too. But his fish are long and skinny. And then down south, I guess he's fishing up towards Corpus. I don't know where he's fishing.
Yeah.
But,
it's a totally different looking fish. Totally different looking fish.
You get down there by, Baffin and Alazan and all through there and Landcut, and those fish are, they're just toads.
Oh, I know.
They're stumps all the way to the tail, you know? It's crazy.
I can't believe people posting all that stuff and they're getting all that. They're wondering why they have so many crowds around. They post all that stuff. Like,
they can't help themselves, man. I mean,
it's okay.
I see it up here. They got to throw three pencils apiece on the cleaning deck and put it on Facebook.
Yeah.
Hey, we limited.
Whoopee, that's all right.
12
that's all right,
fish.
Man.
That's awesome.
I like to look behind my boat and see nobody. And that's what I like. I like to see nobody there and nobody know what I'm doing. And the only thing that matters is the people in my boat that day. That's all that matters.
That's exactly right.
It's all good, man. But I'm waiting on my Belleville hot tamales. My buddy Greg and I think Irene are going up there today to pick up our hot tamales and deer sausages and all that at Belleville. I'm really excited about that. We kind of took it late this year, so I should have sausage all through the summer. Should be good.
Oh, yeah. Well, those Belleville tamales, that's one of them's a meal in itself. They're so huge.
I think we got 15 dozen. I think we're going to have enough.
Oh, gosh. That's going to be – hey – you know, back in the day, you'd buy those tamales, a dozen of them, and you could eat six, no problem. Little skinny taquito-looking size tamales.
Yeah.
One Belleville equals six.
One Belleville, you're done.
Yeah.
Size of a small child. They're amazing.
Yeah, they're
the first
good.
Batch I ever had, a guy gave them to me. They were made out of Axis. And oh, my God. And so I'm having Greg's having these made out of pork. We killed a sow hog, so we're going to try some pork hot tamales.
I bet they'll be good. Oh. Those ladies making those every day, they're awesome.
Yeah, they say they're handmade.
Yeah, they are. There ain't no machine stuff through there. Everything handmade, buddy.
That's good stuff. I'm looking forward to that, man. I'm almost out of deer meat in the freezer in Axis, so it's just perfect timing. You know, we try to eat all that stuff up for hurricane season in case you lose your freezer. You won't lose all your meat.
Yeah.
We try to eat like crazy this time of year and just have a little bit in the summer there in case we have to put in ice chest and take off, you know. But I haven't heard how the hurricane season is looking yet, Mickey. Have you?
I hadn't seen an official National Weather Service, you know, prediction.
Mm-hmm.
And that, well, since I got me a generator that run my entire house now, I probably won't live to see another hurricane, which I'm good with. It was worth the investment if I can keep them away from me.
You got one of those things that automatically kick on, huh?
Hey, man, I got it in my shop out there, and I've got a plug into the wall. A buddy of mine wired it in for me, and I just turned my main breaker off and plugged that in, flip it on, and do the whole house. Back feed it right into the house.
That's good stuff. I got just a small one in the garage, and it'll run a little window unit in the freezer, maybe.
Yeah, and I got a small backup, too. You know, I got two of them.
After those hurricanes, it gets a little hot. It gets very hot. You know,
it
after
does.
Isn't that it's still
that
and humid.
Humidity
man,
and everything,
yes,
and
sir.
That wetness. Ugh.
Well, the only good thing, maybe we could fill up Lake Corpus Christi and get off this water deal. We're at 17%, and they're just screaming like crazy.
Yeah, I saw that the other day. I was reading something about that, and they're deciding on whether to pull any more water out of it or not. You know, it's that critical.
Yeah. It's critical, man. It's just stupid. They let it get, and they knew about this for years. You know, that's what's so sad. Yeah, I think something's going to happen here next year because we'll be out of water 9 months now. So we'll see what happens. But we do have some rain coming, supposedly, next Thursday. So we'll see.
I just
happens.
Got a funny text. You know Hudson Lester?
Yeah, what?
He said, you and Cliff talking about getting old, a quick recent episode I went through. Last weekend, I went to an antique store, and they hung a sale tag on me and wouldn't let me leave.
That's good
oh,
stuff.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, no. Oh, no. That hurt. Man.
Oh, let me knock this break out, Cliff. I'll come right back at you, buddy.
All right, buddy.
With me. We'll do something. All right. Well, I need to take a moment to tell everybody about Angler U. You know, these folks have got it together. They're committed to steadily expanding its library of videos to cover every topic under the sun when it comes to fishing. Check out their weekly fishing reports from up and down the coast by the best guides and tournament anglers with decades of experience. And they're steadily expanding its library of videos to cover all topics and their archives so you can see patterns over time. Their educational videos with instructional topics, they cover all aspects of saltwater fishing for speckled trout, redfish, flounder, tarpon, and whether you're boat fishing, wade fishing, or kayaking, go to anglerU.com. You can become a member today, and you'll receive great discounts from their partner retailers like Fishing Tackle Unlimited, Anglers Anonymous, and Waterloo Rods. This will save you a ton of money. Go to anglerU.com, that's anglerU.com, and improve your fishing skills. It's a game changer. Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It is 6:19 here in the Bayou City. All right, Cliff, we're back, bud.
All right, buddy. Well, I was impressed you tracking all them sharks like that. God almighty.
Yeah, I keep it on my computer. I got it punched in my favorites. I like looking at all that.
I just wonder if anybody's ever caught a great white in the Gulf. They had to. They've had to over these years.
Oh, they've been sighted, you know, and it. I didn't even look at the Gulf this morning when I was looking at it.
Yeah, so it's supposed to be windy again today, you know, supposed to blow like crazy, man. So we'll see. But God, that was so crazy. So Wednesday I had those guys and we waited to go out because the wind was supposed to get up to 41 miles an hour that day. Never showed up. So we didn't leave the dock till like 8:30 or 9. We just gave up on them and it never got real windy. We had a little pre-funk come in. Then the next morning on Thursday, you know, they're not forecasting it to blow. It's blowing, blowing the night and blow and be done on Thursday. Well, they get up Thursday morning. It's blowing 40 knots. Or 40 gusts into 40 knots. Our weathermen are just the worst, Mickey. Golly, man.
Oh, no.
But just typical March. I mean, you know, how many days you actually get to fish a good day in March? It's just, if you can catch that magic day between the fronts on March, you got it. But most time it's strong from the south. It's all good. Did your water drop out, too? I was talking to Paul.
Oh, yeah.
You guys have
it left town, brother. It's gone.
I'm just wondering what's going to take to get it back. We should have a spring tide pretty soon, you know. Let's see. I think last year was the 1st of April.
Yeah, we'll start getting our spring tides, bull them up.
Yeah, that helps our fishing big time. Golly, man. Hey, man, I was talking to Mike Herring, and he's been on another camping adventure. You know how he is. He's always doing something. And
right.
He was talking about all these fish he's been catching the last few years in the surf on Meridines. And so I said, hey, man, well, which one you catch him on? And he likes that electric chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And so he sent me a picture of he had some customs made. You talk about Gucci looking. Man, I can't wait.
Pink ones?
Yeah, pink. And he's got some with a white bottom. And, man, they look good. But those are – and he uses a heavy dine in the surf. They're fast sinkers.
Mm-hmm.
And see, I've just been using a regular one. And then when it's real calm, I like the double D just to throw in that first gut because it runs shallow. But
right.
He's throwing those heavy dines and working them fast off, you know, into the guts. And
right.
I think that's going to be real effective later on in the day when I get off my top water to get back on that gut. I'm excited about surf fishing. You know, you just don't have to get the boat off the trailer. You walk out there. If they're not there, you go home and have breakfast. So I'm looking forward to that beach time. We're about a month away for some good beach.
Yeah, he had one little spot last year over there around Freeport, just one area. That's the only place he caught them, you know, and a lot of people. And it just.
But he was catching them, man. Man,
yeah, we just don't have the amount of fish in our surf that we used to up here, like y'all do down there. I mean, from you all the way down to Port Isabel, there's a lot of fish in that surf, and people really don't take advantage of it.
You know, so I went, Sonny said about Port Isabel, I went down to South Padre to fish the beach a few times. That's a total different game. Those bars are long. It's almost like being in a flat in the Bahamas or something. It's just white sand, and there's not a lot of structure for those fish. They just run up there and run back out. In our Gulf beaches, it's a lot of uneven bars, a lot of different depths, a lot of holes. You know, it's not real flat. And I think they can hide better because we sure got a lot more fish up close. And I talked to Barrera, too. He says, we don't do that good in the surf like you guys do. So, but, of course, they catch giant tarp and everything else, but they're not catching the trout like we're catching.
Well, it just and just some more life in the surf down that way, you know, as far as bait fish and everything, than kind of like the way it used to be up here. And
it's crazy how things are changing. And our years vary every year. So we have a lot of that Sargasso. We come in, we have a lot of big trout. And the years that we have a light Sargasso, we don't have as many fish. So evidently that's holding all the bait, all the little stuff that they like to eat.
Exactly. I know it's a pain in the neck trying to fish in the surf with all that seaweed, but it's brings cover for bait fish. And when you have fish, you have fish.
I mean, since, you know, a lot of people are using the drones on the beach. I saw some of the coolest drone video of tarpon fishing down toward Mansfield. They were down the beach, and guys got a drone over this big school of tarpon right there at the maybe the second gut, and they're just busting mullet, just jumping out of the water, mullet jumping. Mm. And he takes a big old live mullet, puts a circle hook on it, puts it on his drone, and takes it out there on that drone, and he drops it right in the middle of them. They just eat it. It was incredible. He gets that tarpon off the beach, but... I you know, people tell me that's illegal to drop a bait. Then you see them doing it. I wonder, what is the deal with, you know, can you do that with a drone?
Man,
can you take
bait? There's so many rules and regulations for fishing. I hadn't fell into that drone thing yet.
And, yeah, well, get ready, buddy. It's coming.
I'm just too old school, man. I know there's. I was looking at. There's a lot of white sharks in the Gulf right now off the Florida coast. There's three, four, there's four, maybe five. And then out from Mississippi and New Orleans, you know, there's some white sharks, ormonds out off the Mississippi coast and off the Louisiana coast. You got Rose. I see her a lot in the Gulf.
Do they stay in the Gulf, Nikki? Or are they just traveling through there?
A lot of times they'll go back around the horn there at Florida and move back up the East Coast, you know, in the summer months when the water warms up a little bit more. And they go.
So they must have tagged them. Yeah. That's where they tagged them, East Coast, right? They tagged them on the East Coast.
And Acadia, and I see that one a lot in the Gulf. That's straight out kind of between Galveston and Port O'Connor, you know, way out in the Gulf, though. The only close ones in are... short fin Mako's right off the beach there towards Brownsville. And then there's a big hammerhead kind of straight out from Brian Barrera down there.
Maybe Brian, you better stay away from Brian's tarpon.
There's a big hammerhead right there on the beach in Mexico, so it's pretty cool.
Those hammerheads, they eat those tarpon in Florida. When they get those tarpon on those lines, they go hammerheads,
you would
get
believe
them,
they have that one over there they named Hitler. I don't know whether that shark's still around or not there at Boca Grande Pass. They see it a lot when they're doing those tarpon tournaments.
That's a monster. God almighty.
It is. It's a beast.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's 17 video or 18 feet. It's a giant.
I don't know where this video was taken, but a guy's got twin Mercuries. It's like an old whaler, two big Mercuries on the back, and all of a sudden he's reeling the fish in. This great white comes up behind the boat and sticks his head between those two motors.
Oh, boy.
And bites the boat. And when he's shaking his head, Mickey, it's almost knocking the cowlings off the motors. I could not believe how big that fish was. And then he swims off, and the guys are just dead in the water. I mean, he just trashed their motors. So that was pretty amazing. I think he was just chasing some chum or something, but it retched up there and just bit the boat. God almighty.
Yeah, I had a woman one time. She was having trouble that day. She couldn't keep a tarpon hooked. This was years ago when I used to do it, and she finally caught one about, it's probably 90, 100 pounds. It wasn't a real big one. We get it up next to the boat, and this big, huge bull shark just ate it like a minnow, like a bass eating a minnow.
No.
All you saw was this huge blow up, and all you saw was these teeth, and it cut the line, and All you saw was blood in the water. Never saw the tarpon pop up again or the shark. It was gone.
That's something, isn't it?
Shaking that thing in its mouth like a dish rag.
Oh, no. Yeah, I see in Florida,
gotta
they
wake
flip
you
the
up,
bell
buddy.
Over. Yeah, they flip the bell over on the spinning rod and let them go.
On the leader.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's nuts, man. Yeah, well, be sure not dealing with that when you're weight fishing. Just getting your stringers bit off. At least you're not getting your body bit in half. But God almighty. But, what's so unusual about, I keep records of time of temperatures of water and stuff. Our water is flexing so much this year. It is crazy how it's just jumping up and down.
Oh, it is. It's a roller coaster, isn't it?
Yes, sir. And as soon as it gets to that, it stays at 74 for about 9 or 10 days. That's when it's really going to be good. And it's just, we're getting there, Mickey. We're getting there. We're starting to see the big female flounders come in. I'm seeing some big flounder. We caught a big one the other day, so seeing those big monster flounder come in, so that's a good sign. And the sheephead is just, it is crazy how many sheephead are at our cleaning table right now. Maybe.
It's tough to be a sheephead right now.
Oh, my God. You know,
I wouldn't want to be a sheephead. They are getting smashed.
Yes. Yeah, and the good thing is our beaches are kind of, the spring break is kind of over in general, you know, so it's kind of clearing up here. And it's been there for a while. It got pretty congested out here on the island, let me tell you. God almighty. And with no water, I mean, it's just, when these people come in town, they can't, they're just shot. They can't wash their car. They can't do anything. You know, it's just, they go to the beach and there's just like only a couple of car washes that recycle the water that they can go through. So everybody comes through there, runs all their cars to the beaches, and they're going, well, we got to take it all the way to San Antonio to wash it off. But and the boats too, you know, they finally, our city manager finally let us wrench and flush our boats off. But there for a while, can you imagine dipping your boat in this 80 parts per thousand and then put it in your driveway for a week and just letting it sit? It's not going to work. So I may have to have a well drilled in my yard, but I'm going to do something, Mickey. This is crazy.
Man, that's crazy, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In People Houston, don't realize never what a precious problem. Resource yeah. fresh water is until you lose it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had a guy from Austin said, too, same thing's happening in Austin. There's too many straws in that lake. You know, so Austin's growing so fast, they're going to have a water issue in a few years. But that's just it's stupid to run out of water. God almighty. Man. No water in the bay and no water in my pipes.
Well, I don't have a problem with water over my way. Man, it's just been all that fresh water that's come down our rivers over this way. I wish there was some way we could save it and send it y'all's way when you need it.
Yeah, that's just crazy.
You know, pipelines.
They got to do something. It's absolutely nuts what's going
on here.
There's
got to be some way to harness all that precious water and supply it to the people that don't have it.
And it affects our bay system here because they don't release water to flush out our estuaries with fresh water. And so all the baby crabs and shrimp are not getting the fresh water they need right now. So that's going to be a problem later on.
Yeah, that will hurt your crab populations and shrimp, everything.
Yeah, and we're supposed to have some rain on Thursday. I hope it's enough to do some help, because we do need that fresh water right now for the hatches on everything. You know, it's amazing what we got. And you look at Market 37, what's so crazy is how many oysters are in this system right now, Mickey. I think at Market 37, pretty soon they're going to have to come in there and get some oysters out of the marina, because it's all along the sides of where you boat, you know, you put your boat is all the way to the bottom now. So it's we're seeing a whole total different smell. Oysters have a different smell. You know, I was noticing that when I fished with Jay in Rockport. They got a real fresh, great smell to them. You know, it's just a different smell. And you can really smell the oysters at 37. You get out about 5 or 6 miles down the Laguna Madre, you smell that old sour grass like you normally smell.
But,
you know, it's good.
Yeah, it's really good. Strong in Mansfield. That's every time I've been down there, that rotten egg smell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was so bad around our causeway before they opened up Packery that people would just smell so bad going over the causeway. Before they raised our causeway and made it flush, people would just come over here. And I remember Mr. Jolly's daughters complained about how bad Corpus weather was. They said it's dog breath. It's wet, hot, and stinky. They called it dog breath. That was good.
That's so true.
It is, man. It was dog breath. But anyway, it's all good. As long as I got big trout, it can smell what it wants to do. As long as I got these big trout. But we're going to have a good year. It looks like everything's lining up. Didn't get a killer freeze or anything this year. And if we just get some water back and our water clarity's good, we're going to have a smoking good year. And it's good all the way down to South Padre. I mean, all the way down. Huh. The only thing I haven't got reports on is Matagorda. I don't get anybody up there I know in Matagorda. I usually get some good pictures from guys up there. I'm not getting but a couple pictures from Matagorda. So evidently they haven't got the biggest yet.
It really hadn't kicked in good, you know, on their big fish. Mm-hmm. You know, they're catching fish, and, I mean, it could be better. But I think once mid to late April hits and early May, they'll start getting a lot of fish in out of the Gulf, too.
Yeah, and a guy asked me the other day, did that freshwater kill the oysters in Matagorda, too, or just Galveston?
No, they don't get it. They get freshwater, but, it pretty much goes straight to the Gulf. Some of it will leak out through, you know, the tributaries from the river into West Matty. But East Matagorda Bay, it's pretty much protected from that unless you just get some extreme, you know, from Chinkapin and all that area.
Mm-hmm. I got the fish Mitchell's up there one time with Charlie.
Cut down there that brings some good salt in with fish, you know, surf runners. And so.
Yeah, because usually this time, usually in April, I hear about all the great surf fishing in Matagorda, so I hope that happens again. That was a few years ago. That was some incredible surf fishing. I saw it on video.
That was three or four years ago.
Yeah, that was nuts.
Charlie and Tommy and all of them said they'd never seen anything like it. It was just...
That's when it was. It was just crazy. Stupid, I remember them talking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And do the guys go in their boats in the surf?
Yeah.
Go out like they do here?
Yeah. Just pop in the surf in your boats and get in the depth the fish are hanging at and... You know, start your drift, top waters and all that stuff. Pretty crazy.
Mm. Yeah.
Some of the best days I've ever had in the surf in Galveston been out of the boat like that.
Drifting or waiting?
Drifting. You know, just, you know, get outside, you know, where it's deeper that you can't reach, waiting, and, man, you smack them. Slicks bowling up by the hundreds. Just pour the coals to them.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Put it on them. Let me knock this break out. I'll be right back buddy.
All right, man.
All right. Well, I need to take a moment to tell everybody about the Belleville Meat Market. Real easy to find right in downtown Belleville. Look for the big white sign. Their processing facility and meat market are right next door to one another. It's a real short drive from Sealy off I-10 or Hempstead off 290. When you go by the store, check out their smoked sausage samples. They have them available daily in the store. You can try it before you buy it. With a full menu of pecan smoked barbecue that's served Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., along with pulled pork, homemade hot dogs. They have bulk pricing available on fresh ground beef and all of their pecan smoked sausage. And they have wild game processing. Their processing facility, it never closes. It's open year-round. And check out their new sausage recipe that's available. You got to try it. It's really good. And get some deer tamales, venison hot dogs made. Your family will love that you did. The Belleville celebrating over 42 years serving the greater Houston community. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It is 6:39 here in the Bayou City. All right, Cliff, we're back.
All right, buddy. All right, man. I was going to tell you, every year I get people on my boat to make their own lures and stuff. You know, it's really cool. But I had a guy, Richard, on my boat on Wednesday that makes his own lead heads, Mickey. And I'm going to tell you what, this is the finest lead head I've ever seen. I wish we were going to fish Thursday. He was going to leave me a couple of them. I wanted to send you a picture of them, but... Man, he's got this new hook. I don't know where he got it from, but it's got a real long tip before the barb. And then halfway up the shaft, it's bent a little bit. You know, it's got like a little wave in it. And, man, you don't miss any fish on it. And the hook is so strong. And it's a little gumball like he like to use, a little gumball, you know.
Yeah, I love gumball heads. You remember that day I put one on and, you know, when I was fishing with you, I think I put one on the 1/8 ounce. And it's working quite well. A little short shank, wide gap, gold hook on it.
Oh, I remember. And what's so weird is how much more feel you have on a light lead head with that gumball. Do you notice that?
It displaces more water. It grabs more water when you're working it. And, you know, like with the Pro Elite heads and other heads we like to throw, Bass Assassin makes and everything, they don't grab that kind of water. They kind of swoop through the water column.
Yeah, that's exactly what
here,
the fish. It feels different.
It makes a different action on the bait and the way you work it back to you. It's more of a up and down instead of a side down and up motion type. It's just different. I like using it when those gumballs, when it's real windy, because you can stay in contact with your lure better.
Yeah, that's what you're saying. Yes.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, Richard, I think in the last 2 years, he's fished over 500 days. The guy just fishes all the time. He's kind of like
I'd like to see those heads because I've always been a big proponent of gumball.
Me too, man, and I wish I got to fish in the second day, but we got blown out the second day. But, man, he's been waiting all this time to go fishing when we got a really bad hand on the weather. I didn't even get to go down south, so hopefully I'll get to see him in the spring.
It's a crapshoot, man, this time of year.
It is. Golly, man, March is hard. March is a hard time.
It is.
You know, after the tax day after the 15th, it gets real consistent. You know, you're always going to have that morning window, you know, till 10, 11 o'clock of a great topwater bite. By then, the wind's only up by 10, 15 miles an hour, which is nothing for Corpus.
No, 10 or 15, that's a breeze for down there.
Yeah, it's crazy here.
It's a welcome breeze, you know, as hot as y'all get down there.
And they're getting ready to have that Legends here at Marker 37 this weekend. So if you're coming down here, you might want to find a place to put your boat in besides 37 because it's going to be crazy.
Chad will be in his backyard down there throwing his
It's good. It's good. He's going to have a good time. There will be some big old fish come in, you know.
Oh,
I talked to Wyatt. Wyatt and Chase and all the boys. I talked to them. I tried to give them a trip for next week, and they're all down at Mansfield scouting. So it's crazy. I hope the weather will be good for them.
Man, it ought to be good. It ought to be good. Mm-hmm. North of Mansfield too. There ought to be some big fish being caught.
Baffin. Oh my God, yes! If they can get the weather in Baffin and Alzon, they'll catch some toads in there.
Yeah,
man, just the high winds just eliminate so much of your shoreline. If you can get under 10 miles an hour, you got so much more area. And you go down to Mansfield, you can boat 25 or 30, and those flats are still clear.
Yeah,
the wind's your friend. You know, down here it's a little different situation, but.
Well, they've just got so much more grass down there, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cuts down, you know, it just filters the water so much better, and it stays.
Yeah.
But, you know, some of the best trips I've ever had in Mansfield have been when the water's kind of got a little bit of chalkiness to it.
Yep.
You know, instead of the real air clear, it'll be kind of chalky. I don't know how to describe it. It just looks more dense, and it's not as that fish don't have the visibility, and, man, they go crazy.
Mm-hmm. It's funny because Mike was talking about that real clear water. He was fishing a surf one day. He said they were biting at dark. He said right at dark. It was still dark, and this son and I, they were standing next to each other, and about 30 minutes after it got light, they shut down. Yeah. And that will happen here in our surf. It'll happen here in our flats on big trout. Man, sometime that early bite in the summer, in real clear water, and the water's been hot the day before, they'll get up in that white, cool sand, and you've got about maybe an hour and a half in the morning to get them before they pull off. But
then you
got
to roll out, go get on a deep structure.
Mike told me a cool story. He said there was a place there in Galveston where him and his father always fished the beach. And him and his father stood this place and fished. So Mike took his son the other day to fish that. Last year. So they're standing in the dark. It's just right before dark. And they're standing side by side. And Mike hooks about a 3-pounder. And he yells at his son, "Man, I got a good fish on, son." And he said, "This is right where me and my dad used to stand, right here and catch these fish." And he said, at that time, it's dark. He said, from behind him, a meteor comes behind him and comes right behind him and goes over their head and lands in the Gulf, right over the Gulf. And his son goes, "Well, that's Grandpa right there." I said, "That's pretty cool, man." That was a pretty cool moment right there, man.
You know, that happened to me and Blaine fishing Port O'Connor. We were in a tournament one time, we got out. We had some great fish pre-fishing, and then we pulled a southwest wind on the final practice day. We had to go over there and get on that Powderhorn shoreline. We didn't know much about it. All we knew is we're getting out of the wind, and we were in there that morning, and we were waiting for the fishing time to start. We're already wading in the water, just waiting to cast, waiting for 6 o'clock up. And as soon as it turns 6, man, we throw our topwaters out, and it's like bombs going off. We start catching them, and a meteor. In the dark, you could see the flash, and when it hit, every mullet, everything on that flat jumped out of the water, and we didn't get another bite till 10 o'clock. Those fish were in there. We had to just wait them out.
Oh,
we had nowhere
man,
else to go.
Something.
That southwest was about 30 miles an hour. So, but and from what I hear, everybody sees that a lot down there. You know, it don't have to be very big. It'll just hit the water, you know, and it that was a weird experience. It was still, it was just breaking day, but you could see the flash from it and then feel the impact from it when it hit the water.
Man, that's something. That's something. Yeah, I've seen a few of them. I don't think I've ever seen one hit like that, but that's really
a little
neat.
Meteorite.
Man. It's the stuff you see in the outdoors. You don't see sitting around there bitten neck and looking
you,
at your phone.
Right through you.
Oh, man.
How did he get on that flat that morning? Oh, meteorite got him.
Meteor got him. Well, it's like lightning. I mean, people get struck by lightning.
The rest.
Sharks took the rest, buddy. Golly. That's so true, man.
That's and that shoreline we were waiting, it turned out to be a shark pit, too. Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. They were dealing us fits.
Well, you know, we're starting to see a few black tips already show up. I saw a guy catch one off the jetties the other day. So, evidently,
they're coming
starting
in.
To show up.
Sharky's starting to catch a few at our jetties, beachfront and everything. So, here they come.
We're looking at all the spring breakers down here. So, we sit there and we watch all these crazy people. And they're all bent necks. Every one of them are walking down the room. Every one of them are walking down the beach, bent neck, looking at their phone. I mean, there'd be five in a group. Everyone is bent necks. Bent necks. They're all bent necks. And I'm thinking about how bad, you know, if I was a chiropractor, I'd be going, man, well, I'll make a lot of money here. Because, I mean, you look at these people, everybody's about 2 inches shorter now. I don't know what's going on, but I could, you know, you don't see anybody's face. The best thing that happens is you got a group of guys walking down the beach looking for chicks, but you don't see them because you're looking at your phone. They just walk right by you, and they're looking at their phone. They didn't see
it.
You.
I mean,
just don't get it either, man. But,
and it bothers my eyes. Really. I can't stand looking at that screen for a very long time.
I have some kids that come on the boat with their father. You know, I've had this several groups of them, and they're bent necking all day long until you hook a fish. They want to reel it in.
Yeah, then
they're just not outdoors.
And start fishing, you know.
Yeah, you know, and that they're just not. They just don't like the outdoors like we do. But I think if they put that phone and leave it in the car and look around a little bit, they might enjoy it a little bit more. But boy, things have changed. The look on the beach now. You look back at the pictures many years ago. Everybody's head straight up. You look at the pictures now. Everybody's bent neck. You know, got a big old bent in their neck.
They're in praying position, looking down.
They're in praying position.
They're praying. Unbelievable.
Anyway, I guess pretty soon the iPhones and everything will be in your sunglasses or something where everybody get their head back up, hopefully.
Well, things are, I don't know. I don't even know how to describe it.
Yeah. And it, you know, just like their phones fishing now. You know, everybody's got their built-in GPS on their phones and stuff, and you know, they're marking you while you're running and stuff on the GPS. It's just, you know, it's just crazy how everything has changed so much. There's no secrets anymore with the iPhones and the internet and stuff. So you just better follow the fish. That's all you got to do. Just follow the fish.
Yeah, I had some guys show up and fish with me about 8 or 10 years ago, and maybe longer than that, maybe 12. I don't know. But they'd always fish with this other guy and ask me if I knew anything. I said, well, yeah, I know who he is. I don't, you know, I'm not friends with him or anything. And, well, we'd do this and do that. And they baited me up. They booked about 6 or 8 trips that summer. And I showed them how to fish all my open water stuff and all these spots I had marked. And as it turns out, all of a sudden, they just quit fishing with me, and I knew it wasn't because I didn't put them on fish because they had some world-class trips with me. I mean, a bunch of big fish, big trout out of the boat working slips.
They got your spots, right.
Well, it turns out, then I started seeing that guy that they were buddies with the next year fishing all my stuff, and I'm going, how did he find that? And I got to thinking, I figured it out. They baited me up big time. Which is fine. Hey, they paid for the trip. They can do what they want.
Oh, I know. I've gone through years and years of that, you know, years and years of tournament fishing that they'll fish you for maybe 1 or 2 seasons, and they got what you got now, and they're going to the next guy. You know, they're going to someone else, another younger guy or something, to get what he's got. And they just work the circuit. You know, there's nothing wrong with it, but that's how they learn some of the water. They go with different guys and learn their areas. And, you know, you –
Nobody gave me anything. I earned it all on my own. I didn't bird dog anybody or beg anybody for information. I just went out and did my thing, man. Used my own skills.
And that's what Doug Bird said about us. Doug Bird said about you, Mickey, and Plog a long time ago. He says, you know, we're some of the first ones. Nobody showed us nothing. And, you know, that's Doug was like, he was in the Secret Service. He didn't help me. I love him to death. Great guy. But, man, when he come in, he cut his lure off. I had to watch. You know, I kind of watched what he's doing and listen to the people and find out, you know, because he was the first one to really master the working drop-offs and rocks with trolling motors. You know, I've gone through probably 45 trolling motors doing that now. But you think back about how he brought the freshwater techniques to the saltwater.
Yeah.
Structure and trolling motors. You know, before that, it was just drifting with a drift bag and chunking. But now we are able to control our drift. When you can control your drift down a shoreline and target the sweet spots, you're going to produce a lot more fish.
Oh, I remember all the flack I caught back in the early 80s using a trolling motor on my bay boat. Yeah. You know, you didn't have all this good bow stuff like we have now. You had to put it on a transom. And
I know.
Main reason I used it was for those dead slick calm days when the birds were working, instead of just blowing through them on a tide change.
Yeah.
You know, the tide sucking through the fish. I could stay on them the way I wanted to. And, I mean, I'd hit one school of birds that had a bunch of big fish in them, and I'd limit out, you know, 20 fish apiece, just boom.
Yep.
And
That's
I look up a couple of years later, and everybody's got a trolling motor. Mm-hmm. It works.
Yeah. Yeah, I know it. Well, it's the same thing here with the birds, but also just like that 20 miles of land cut, you know, work to drop. Are they intercoastal? You know, the summertime when it gets hot, how many fish pile in that deep water and you can work a drop off with a trolling motor and catch them, you know, inside the boat without wading across the flats and all the stingray? You got people don't want to wade. You can still produce fish out of the boat. But I remember that trolling motors are so serious. I bought a Wahoo boat from a guy from Sweetwater, Texas, and it had a rail around it, you know, like a rail in the front.
Bow rail?
Aluminum rail. And so we had to cut it to put a trolling motor on it. So got a big cut on the front
of my all the boats back then we ran had bow rails. You know, you make those and Hydrosports and all that, and I'd just take them off and then fill the cracks in with the Marine Tex or whatever that stuff's called.
I don't know what that was about, Mickey. I don't know what the bow stuff was about, those rails rung about. What was that for? So you didn't fall over and you put the anchor out?
I mean, big 25 Hydrosport I had, the big old giant stainless bow rail, that's a lot of money, just the bow rail itself.
Yeah.
I think it's more decoration than anything. It kind of got in the way. I got tired of people up in the front casting and hitting it all the time and backlashing. I just took it off.
Yeah, that's so true, man.
I just took it off, man.
I remember that Wahoo. That Wahoo had that big rail, but that Wahoo had, I remember I paid $10,000 for it. It had 60 hours on it.
That was a lot of money back then.
Yeah, and it had never been in the fresh water. You know, and it was just fine. It got me through till the next boat. I probably kept it a year or so. But, you know, it was incredible how cheap things were back then. And we thought $10,000 was some money back then. You know,
hey, man, my first guide boat was a boat I bought from Reynolds Marine. And drive out on it was $4,500. And I thought, man, I don't know how I'm going to afford this. I got to run some trips, man. But what was it? What did we get? I think 170 or 150 for a half day and 200 for a full day back then.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. God.
Yeah.
That's
but
crazy.
Gasoline was under a dollar a gallon, too.
Yeah, and our motors were 140s or under. You know, a lot of the guys were running 90 horse.
115s, 140s, Johnny Rudes. Whether it was a Johnson or Everett, they're both the same. We just called them Johnny Rudes.
Yeah, and then remember when somebody broke 50 miles an hour for the first time? It's like, oh, my God, the guy's doing 50 on the water, you know? It's crazy, man.
I remember when Evinrude came out with that 235. Everybody had to have that big V6.
Yes,
hey,
that was a big.
You better have a fuel tanker following you around to gas you back up, buddy. I used a guy's boat one time. A customer showed up with a, I think it was a Regal or something like that, had a 235 on it, and we chased birds that morning. I told him, I said, hey, man, we're low on fuel. He said, there's no way I filled it up. I said, well, look at the gas gauge. We better. So we had to go in and refuel and go back out and work birds. We used two tanks of gas that day working birds. I said, yeah, that 235
didn't make no money.
Sure likes gas, buddy.
Sure likes that gas, man.
Oh,
God,
man. Imagine running.
Just look at our old vehicles. Look at our old Suburbans we used to run with the 454s that got 6 miles a gallon, you know.
I had old Ford trucks back then get 6-7 miles a gallon pulling a boat.
Golly, man, that's terrible. That's
Guzzlers,
terrible.
Man. All right,
Guzzlers,
buddy.
Guzzlers, man.
Well, Cliff, you have a good weekend. What's left of it? If somebody wants to call you about coming down fishing with you, give them some info, man.
All right, Mickey. My area code 361-949-0707. Thanks for having me on, Mickey.
And keep calling or leave a text because you never know with the phone signal problems.
I know it, buddy. Thanks, man.
All right, buddy. See you, Cliff.
Okay.
Later.
Okay.
All right. Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. We'll be back in the morning bright and early, 4 a.m. right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.